proposal outline and make sure that you see yourself fitting in specific portions of the proposal. Yeah, I'll go over it once again after Ming shows up. Hey, hi, come on in. Okay, so let's do the proposal outline first, and then we can talk about the related work a little bit more. So give, if you want to give me a copy of that, I'll just write this on the board just for us to get a mental map of what I think of the proposal, and then we can refine it. Right? So the proposal right now, the title is Managing Caches in Consolidated Environments. The goal is to have the title represent the content of the proposal, and you know, hopefully that is the case.
So maybe you should make it cache hierarchies, right? If we want to address a hierarchy.
Okay, so we want to put a hierarchy here.
HIE
or... And then there are, I see four components in the proposal. So the first component is what I call foundations. The second component is, there are five, sorry. The second component is about managing partitionable caches. Third component is managing non-partitionable caches. Because I feel like each of them...
There are examples of partitionable caches.
Yes.
But I guess you could think of main memory as being a partitionable cache, for instance.
Main memory and address lead, they're both partitionable. Actually, I think that the way I laid it out is non-partitionable before partitionable. And then the fourth is what Ming brought up last time, which is, I think, very important, is holistic cache management, cache hierarchy management. That's what I say here, cache hierarchy management.
Okay.
So maybe we should have a hierarchy of this. Component is case studies. And the case studies is just, you know, what sort of experiments would be run to evaluate all of these contributions, right? To showcase the importance of these contributions. So that's what I see as sort of the broad distribution of the content of the proposal. In terms of sectioning, there is a couple of sections before each of these become a section. So section one is an overview of the proposal. Section two is presenting some background and related work. Now, that second section could be spread out across all of these other sections. That's one way to do it. But I think it's easier to start by keeping that separate. And then we have one section for each of these proposals. And then the other necessary project management, broader impact, and results from prior proposals. So that's basically the outline of the proposal in terms of just the sectioning and broad content. Now, what I'd like to do is to actually go into a little bit one level deeper into each of these sections and see what you think about that.
Precisely, for Medium, you don't have to include project management.
As part of the main proposal document, because there is a separate two-page thing, right?
Yes.
So we get some more space.
Right.
That's good, because I think we'll need it. So So here, so this is actually section 3. So 3.1, I want to spend time discussing the modeling of working sets. And basically argue that this is an unsolved problem and we need better models for working sets and for working sets under contention. That's the main point, right? That that working sets are not sufficiently descriptive as to what would be the requirements on the cache or various levels of the cache hierarchy.
But the working set itself doesn't change, right? I mean, that's going to be a function of the actual...
I mean, if you look at the ERSS paper, right, there is a slight modification that we make to the working set concept. But I agree that fundamentally it's not a big difference. The key here is to say that working sets are, the new here I think is that the working sets are dynamic and you need to learn them in an online fashion, and that there are working sets at multiple levels of the hierarchy. All of this in some sense, at least the hierarchical distribution of working sets was part of the previous paper. So it's existing work, right? It's not new. So this is just a broad topic. So in this broad topic, I distribute preliminary and proposed work. Mm-hmm. And in the proposed work,
I have a question about the framework. You did see the diversity formulation there.
Yeah. The diversity formulation is preliminary work.
How is that related to the working set concept?
Right.
It's not directly related. So maybe the title here should be different.
Yeah,
I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe we need a different title here. So, if you can think of a different title, what should we say here? Modeling cache requirements? It might make sense, right? Instead of the modeling working sets.
It's perhaps relationship between cache and working sets.
So modeling cache requirements includes both, right? Okay. Includes both the working set as well as the weight set.
Yeah.
So that might be better. Okay. So...
And it includes things like miss. MRCs and
right. So here in the proposed work, I want to say that the new things that we want to contribute is to address all levels of the memory hierarchy.
Yeah.
Right. And also address dynamism aspects of the working set and the cache requirements. Now, so cache requirements at all levels and dynamism at all levels of the cache.
Mm-hmm.
In 3.2. What I have is actually modeling cache contention and wastage. So maybe these 3.1 and 3.2 can be collapsed into one category.
Right.
It's possible that would occur.
Is it just a cache requirements, contention, and wastage?
Right. Right, so here, what is 3.2 right now may actually become section 3. I think the key is to address things like, all levels and the dynamism, and then, the wastage, and how do we model it, right? Whether it's just pairwise as we've already looked at before, or something more complicated than that. Also, we want to look at other cache replacement algorithms. Because all the work
actually,
that
last time you made a statement saying that we won't be looking at cache replacement algorithms, so that kind of...
No, we won't be looking at new cache replacement algorithms, but what we want to do is to analyze wastage for other cache replacement algorithms. So this, the wastage that we've analyzed so far,
maybe over here, but what about part 2, part 3? I mean, ultimately you have to manage cache, so how can you not have some cache replacement schemes that you have learned from all this modeling?
I think that's a gap that I don't know how to fill, because I have no ideas there, how to design new cache replacement algorithms that would minimize wastage. I think it's an open question, but I don't know where it fits in, because I can't even think of anything in that direction. But since, Giri, you will be part of the proposal, that may be
interesting. Just to throw something completely ad hoc, imagine that you have this much cache, and let's say your wastage says that the largest wastage is because of this guy giving junk calls affecting this guy's misses.
Hmm.
So you could say, okay, then maybe this guy's allocation should be increased. I'm just throwing something completely ad hoc.
So you're talking about dynamically partitionable caches. Partitionable,
right.
Partitionable,
so I'm saying it affects the how you're going to manage
the partition. With partitionable caches?
Non-partitionable, right? I mean, because you're... All you're saying is increase the allocation for this. There's no real partition, but we should allow this guy more pages because he is getting affected by, or this workload is being affected by, I forget all the terms that you used. I think one of them was real misses, and the other was misses because of junk pages, non-reused pages.
Non-reused pages, exactly.
So if a lot of that is happening for these two workloads, it makes sense to take some pages away from that guy and provide this guy more pages. This may not be totally relevant. All I'm saying is each of these has got to give us some lessons for managing the cache. Otherwise, these lessons are not particularly useful.
Well, I think one of the ways in which you can use the wastage formulation is just in provisioning. If you can compute wastage, then you know how much cache you require. And you can do things like admission control, like you talked about last time.
So
it's still useful.
But provisioning ultimately boils down to a cache replacement algorithm, isn't it? Its consequence is on...
It assumes a certain cache replacement algorithm, and then you can derive wastage from that. And the total amount of cache you would need is the sum of all the working sets plus the wastage induced by a specific cache replacement algorithm.
Uh-huh.
So your provisioning is how decides sizing.
Sizing.
So cache sizing. Right?
Yeah, cache sizing.
Well, I think previous the point he made, that I think that there's something I think I've seen some paper in the archives that have done that.
Uh-huh.
They observe the behavior of different brands and how they use cache. If they see the brand has some benefit from cache, it would take away the space from that brand. Yeah, must have seen it somewhere. I try to figure out.
Yeah, so I can understand how you would define a new replacement algorithm that would try to minimize this wastage.
Yeah.
There are a couple of points which are problematic. One is, if you're looking at the hardware as a black box, you don't have control over some, whatever cache replacement algorithm exists there. If you're looking at it as a white box and saying that we've done hardware cache design work, we haven't, right? So there is an expertise question there. But we could say that, well, here are some lessons that we learned that could benefit this other community that is doing this other kind of work. Now, if you're not looking at caches that are partitionable, those are the on-chip caches are the only ones that we actually referring to, right? Because memory is partitionable, and if you can partition, you can eliminate wastage. You don't need to design a replacement algorithm that can minimize wastage.
But we should be able to study it from a simulation viewpoint, yes?
Yes, we can. We can.
And we are studying the effect of LRU on wastage, for instance.
Hmm.
So if we replace that with some other cache replacement algorithm, then that...
Right, so here I do mean studying wastage
for
other cache replacement algorithms. That's what I mean here.
Okay.
But what you're talking about is also interesting, which is, can we design new cache replacement algorithms that are inherently aware of this wastage and why it occurs, and therefore are able to minimize it? I think it's an open question, and it may be a good fit for this proposal. I just don't know how to address that question. I don't know how to approach that problem yet. So, because in the proposal we'll have to give some initial insights, right, as to how we think that we can address the problem. So let me put this in here for now.
Right. That I would say purely simulation test.
New cache. No, I was talking about new cache replacement algorithms.
Yeah.
Designing the algorithm itself to minimize wastage. New cache algorithms to minimize wastage in non-partitionable caches. What are the assumptions that we can make? Can we make an assumption that accesses will be tagged with the thread or process information? Because a lot of times these caches don't know where the requests are coming from. They don't know context. So that's the reason why I didn't put it in here, because, well, of course, I didn't think that something like this would be feasible, but I think it is. If we maybe improve the hardware or...
Why does that have to be non-partitionable cache? What can we study that for partitionable cache too?
I guess we could, but with the partitionable caches, you have a simpler solution, which is partitioning. So wastage becomes zero.
Yeah, we talk about that too, right? There's a trade-off there. How you want to partition. Is it a hard partition or soft partition?
Yeah, adaptive partitioning.
Right. And wastage is still factor.
Yeah. That's true. So, and by the way, in all the partitioning that we are talking about, we are not talking about permanent partitioning, right? It's adaptive partitioning.
Right.
But I think what you're saying is that even within the single duration of some interval, before we repartition, there might be some wastage of space. Whereas if we have an algorithm that allows, you know, any application or any process to use any portion of the cache, we might be able to even eliminate that. Okay, good. So that's a good point. Let's see where this fits in after we discuss the rest of this. I know we don't have a whole lot of time, so I'm going to go through this very quickly. So in non-partitionable caches, what I have is a distribution of the tasks that are required. Right, that we would need to create monitoring tools, provisioning algorithms that include wastage, and then there are additional knobs that we can use. For instance, cache mapping. Right, if you have a set of proxies and you have a set of caches, how do you map these down to caches? And then the scheduling and migration knobs, right? So you can schedule processes together where wastage is minimized for non-partitionable caches, and we could also migrate processes to different hosts if we feel that admission control does not allow us to keep the process. And so those are the four things that I see here as the major categories where we might have research challenges. Cache mapping and scheduling and migration. So for me the goal to put all of this down. Is so that you can see where you might fit in, where you might see these are challenges that you can address here. So maybe this guy goes somewhere here, I don't know. Or even here, right? Because we said that maybe new cache replacement algorithms could also be used for managing partitionable caches. For partitionable caches, by the way, here the scheduling and migration are the possible knobs, because these caches are not shared across all the cores. They're shared only across a subset of cores. So by migrating or scheduling carefully, we can eliminate or change the contention, right? That's why these become knobs. They are not knobs here because these partitionable caches are typically shared across all the cores. So scheduling and migration, maybe migration would still help, but scheduling doesn't help. So, but you still need monitoring. And maybe some of these do not have very significant research challenges, right? But they still need to be part of this proposal. Otherwise, people might have questions of what about this. Partitioning. And in partitioning, I actually break it up into two parts because there is this weirdness that happens with caches that are not in the access path, right? So in access path and not in access path. Right, so those are the two things here.
And
okay.
By definition, you're assuming partitionable means it's partition can change. So otherwise,
yes,
you would have adaptive changing the...
Yeah, exactly. So, so here we have to, I talk about what is the granularity at which we monitor and we partition. So those need to be part of this.
Okay.
It's all adaptive. And the adaptive message has to be upfront, right, in the beginning of the proposal, right? And maybe reinforced throughout the proposal so that people understand that this is not a single operation and we're not trying to address all the problems at once, but we are creating a dynamic solution. Okay, so this is more interesting because I think this is somewhat new even for me, the holistic cache hierarchy management. So here I see, first of all, you need to create a framework which encompasses the entire cache hierarchy for monitoring as well as knobs for changing the base stage profiles and contention and so on, right? So actually I have three parts here. So one is the monitoring part. And the monitoring part is actually tied into the monitoring of these guys, right? So each of these guys will collect some data and they will report back to this holistic framework. Then we have something that I call finger pointing. And this is still hazy for me. I have to work it out. And what I was thinking initially, at least, and we can fix this, is that if there is a goal of, if there is a violation of some system goal, let's say some latency goal for some workload, okay, we need a finger pointing mechanism that will tell us where the problem is, or maybe occurs at multiple levels, right? So that would map that high level system goal to a specific cache level, and then we can deal with the problem at that cache level. So I think this piece actually ties all the things that we're doing prior to this.
So I would have thought that in the holistic, the first thing you would talk about are cache levels and a relationship of a level to its previous level and its next level. Because that's what is critical there. Until now, you've not talked about this. You only talked about a single level cache and what it means to partition or not to partition.
Yeah.
So I think the holistic comes about because you have multiple levels.
I think that's part of this
maybe it is, but maybe that should be highlighted.
That's the framework. And I think what we are saying here is that, by the way, our basic formulations, if you remember, right, are based on properties of the workload, such as reuse rate, flood rate, and working set size. Now, these base stage formulations would need to be done per cache.
Per level. Right. So, in fact, it would be interesting to see if you don't see signs of wastage here, but you see signs of wastage here.
Right.
In fact, the finger pointing may become somewhat easier that way.
Right. Exactly. And also what would happen is that if you, let's say, a workload changes and at some level of the hierarchy, you incur a lot more wastage, and that changes the flood and reuse rates of one workload and maybe even other workloads as a side effect of the change, right? So the change of reuse rate at one level would affect the rates at the next level. Because if you're not able to hit in the cache at this level, you'll have more access at the next level. So the wastage there would be also different.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a dynamic cascading effect that you would see as the workload changes across all levels of the hierarchy. I think that needs to be addressed. Interactions, right? Across levels. Okay, and then of course after you finger point, you have to do remediation, right? And there are many things that we can do with respect to remediation. We can use all of these knobs that we built for partitionable as well as non-partitionable caches. So we've already described those knobs. Here we can say, well, how to use those knobs.
Hello. Hi, Leo.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe 5 minutes before our 4 o'clock. Yeah. All right, let's do that. I'll call you. Yeah, bye. Okay, so that's what I have, and I don't have space on the board. But for the case studies, what I was thinking of is cache mapping. Let's say you have a set of workloads. How do you map those workloads to specific cores, given that you have a hierarchy of caches with certain properties? Right, so this is I don't know if it's a provisioning question, but it's sort of a general high-level question that given n workloads and n cores and a cache hierarchy, how would you do the mapping? I think that would be able to utilize several portions of what we talked about before, right? So what I want the case studies to do is to together bring in all of these contributions. So maybe like a overlapping map of what portions each of those case studies touches would be nice. Right, so maybe the first guy uses this part.
But you need case studies at every level too, right?
Yeah, at every level.
So even single level cache, you need to have some case studies.
Right, so for instance, this first case study.
Workloads, this, that, and that sort of stuff.
First case study addresses mostly the non-partitionable caches, in my view.
Yeah. What is existing technologies, rather, right?
Yeah, well, even the partitionable ones are existing, right? So for instance, DRAM is existing technology. SSD caches, by the way, are not entirely new. People have been writing papers about them. So the goal here is to try to address all the contributions that we make for the non-partitionable caches by figuring out how best to map workloads which are given certain properties to various cache levels.
Also, whether your hierarchy is homogeneous or heterogeneous, whether you have partitionable mixed in with non-partitionable, well, I guess in most cases you will have.
You will have that. Yeah, you will have both partitionable and non-partitionable caches. So the second case study is just about main memory partitioning. So you have a set of workloads, and they all share main memory. How do you partition main memory? And the third one is about SSD caches, because these two are different because they have different techniques to be employed. There may be more case studies that you could add here. But that's basically the outline of the proposal. So I think the next step is, where do you see bringing research questions and challenges and contributing, or if we need to extend this outline so that we could do that, that's also fine. If this is just my view of the proposal based on the discussions we've had so far.
Yeah, for my part, of course, foundations are clearly where I belong, but then there are these interactions between levels that sounds extremely interesting to me. And whether there are, and also case studies, I think it would be interesting to see.
If there is a case study with respect to foundation.
I'm not quite sure about what you mean by case study. For me, case study is whatever subsystem you're building, it's how do you test this, how do you evaluate it. That's how I think of case studies, but maybe...
Exactly, that's exactly what it is.
So it has to be done at every level, so to speak, whatever algorithm for whatever component is produced.
Case studies are a little bit more substantial.
They're more comprehensive, yeah.
They're more substantial because they address some concrete application, let's say. Right, so it would be nice to have, for instance, some case study which may not be an application for the foundations component. And
no, because I mean, you look at even the LRU work; they say that there are these distributions, there are these access distributions where this LRU is optimal. Then there are ones where LFU is optimal. So these, to me, I think of those as case studies for studying LRU and LFU. So what happens if you have some mix of workloads of with these different attributes? What happens to the system? How does it affect wastage, or how does it affect some partitioning scheme that you might have? Those are the things that I see as being somewhat interesting to me.
So maybe we can design one case study if we are, let's say, confident about including this designing of new cache replacement algorithms that minimize wastage. We could design a case study that that highlights that contribution somehow. Maybe we can design a case study where we have a set of workloads and we change the properties of these workloads and then see how this new cache replacement algorithm reacts, and contrast it with conventional cache replacement algorithms. But for that, we would need to be sure that, okay, there is a direction here, right, that we have ideas for, and that is the design is justified. And then I think it makes sense to include it in this proposal. I think it would be great to have something like that in this proposal. So Ming, how about you? Where do you see you bringing the research questions?
Well, it's only I'm going to think six, component six, and also...
You mean five, the case studies? No, which one are you
talking about? Holistic.
Four.
Okay. Six. Okay. Okay. Second six. Yeah. And also in the case study, I think it's 7.3. No, not the SSD caching. Yeah, I'm pushing that. Also, comment. It seems like these case studies that you, the three case studies here, you have, they all specific to the different components. And there's no case study that can go with the holistic. So maybe we can actually incorporate the case studies into each individual component. And
everything has to be, there has to be evaluated.
No, I think we could add another case study also. I mean, that's an alternate approach for the holistic component.
Yes. And then still we can move, I guess it's your choice, we can move case studies to go with each component.
Yeah, the reason I like to have a case study separate is because people might not, they might lose themselves, or they might not be able to see it if it's embedded in some section. And the case studies are important because they will make the proposal contributions more concrete and clear, right? So that's why I pulled them out into a separate section.
So I was
there may be some different pieces that are novel, and you want to know how all of this works together.
Yeah, and there may be some case studies which address multiple components, and I think that's still work in progress. So Ming, if you have something in mind eventually for as a case study for this holistic component,
I would be good to apply that, you know, all of this to the, you know, performance management and ground system. That sounds like the perfect case study.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it would help to also have one case study that where the, all the levels are sort of homogeneous of certain types.
Like, you mean partitionable, all are partitionable.
So let's say you're only interested in, you know, what's happening below, say, L2, L3 caches.
That's the first case study.
Yeah, and they're, you know, they're all non-partitionable, so it's sort of homogeneous in some sense. I think it would be interesting to just say, to look at case studies that are homogeneous in that respect.
Yes. Yeah, I think the first case study that I wrote down is along that direction. Yeah. So I think the first one is multi-core cache mapping. So the fourth one, maybe the fourth case study, is what you talked about, which is performance management in cloud.
Yes, I already added there.
Okay, you did.
Yes, yes. That way I've added all your comments there.
Okay.
So good answer.
Okay, great. All right, so what should be our next step? What I'd like to do, at least, is to move all of this to LaTeX so that we can... at least for me, it's much easier to cite papers using LaTeX than to do it using Microsoft Word. So the earlier we go there, the more rich I think the writing can be. And then after that, I'm going to start by writing section one. And maybe I think what I would like from you, Giri and Ming, is just research questions and research challenges that you think fit into the components, and once we have that, then maybe we can distribute them across the proposal. So if you can, for instance, write up a research challenge and write up like two paragraphs of what approach we would take to address that challenge. And if we have a few such challenges, let's say three challenges each of us, then we can distribute them across the entire proposal. Yeah, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's work on that. I'll send you a pointer to the SVN repository so that we can directly make updates there.
Okay.
The alternate thing that maybe instead of in the first round, maybe you can just prepare a separate document with the challenges and summary direction. Then maybe at our next meeting, we can figure out exactly where it goes. Because I think by then, I'll also have maybe filled out some of the initial parts of the proposal. And also based on today's feedback, I'll make some changes as well. Yeah? Okay, so Ming, do you want to sort of give us I know we have only 20 minutes, but maybe in 10 minutes, can you give us like sort of the high points of your study?
Oh, right, great work, yes. So.
Yeah, it seems like you managed to go through a lot of material.
Quickly. Yes, yes. Yeah, these are all from the architecture community, all of them. So I think there are a couple of papers.
So this is managing caches at the hardware level.
Yes, managing processor caches. All of them are about managing processor caches. Last level.
Which are basically non-partitionable.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, it depends on how you look at it. The architecture level solutions, the first category, they all propose some kind of techniques to partition the caching in hardware. And they are all, of course, implemented, most of them even in simulators. Yes. There may be some hardware that's announced that supports that already.
But I think the high-level takeaway there is that caches today are not partitionable, CPU caches. Whatever partitioning you're talking about is all in research and not in production.
Yeah.
So if we want to build a solution that people can use, we have to deal with the non-partitionability in a fundamental way.
So is it going to be a jump for people to think about partitionable caches? Is there going to be resistance saying this is a crazy idea, it's not going to work?
No, but we are talking about specific caches, right? We are talking about DRAM and SSD caches.
Okay.
And those are the only partitionable caches we talk about. By the way, the non-partitionable and partitionable caches, at least in my mind, are two separate real categories that apply today.
Because I know Ricardo argued for partitioning even
Even, yeah, CPU processor caches, and that's what these guys are arguing as well. These many of these papers are saying we need to partition. And some of these papers maybe also propose ways to partition, right?
Or they assume it's partitionable.
Or they assume that it's somehow partitionable. In fact, some caches are. For instance, I think the PowerPC.
Yeah, they have some support.
Yeah, the IBM chips.
Power server.
Yeah, not PC, right? Mm-hmm. So Power 5 and Power 7.
Right.
They have some partitionability, but even that is not as fine-grained as you might think.
Yeah. Or the the second category is mostly based on page color technology in software, right? And they assume that it is. So some of them are about how to make page coloring more efficient. Some of them are disconnected. So seismics in higher category, there's some of which are about how to implement the mechanism, some about how to determine the policy, how to determine, assuming you can partition, how do you determine how much to give to each brand. And the same thing in the software category, they also mix some about the mechanism, some about policies. In terms of policies, many of them are based on offline analysis, offline profiling. And only a few of them are based on online techniques.
But I think the main competitor for us are papers that talk about minimizing contention, right? Somehow.
Well, they are all sort of that. It looks to me that that's all almost this objective that almost all of them pursue is that assuming this because. Sharing of cache is interference, and how do you deal with interference? Either to make to satisfy the performance guarantee or maximize the system's throughput. I think that's.
But do any of them not assume ability to partition the caches and still try to minimize the contention?
There's at least one. If page coloring. You don't want to
page coloring is an artificial form of partitioning, right?
Yes.
I mean it's like a roundabout way to somehow make the cache partitionable.
Right.
So I put it in the same category. But are there, for instance, any techniques where they have this core mapping?
Yes. Or there are a couple of papers. I need to do deeper. There is one paper that is the two-canal paper. That does not assume it is partitionable.
Right.
Yeah, and then these OS observation, using OS observations to improve performance paper. That is, so there are some papers that are based on pulling the performance counters and using that information to detect interference and figure out how to mitigate interference. I think most of those papers are using in the performance counters.
So and the knob that they use there is just mapping of processes to specific scheduling.
Migrate thread across cores. Yes. And in the Kubernetes paper it's scheduling, CPU allocation. If there's one thread that is one virtual machine that is cannot make this secure is because of the classic interference, they will give that virtual machine more CPU cycles to compensate for the interference.
That's interesting. So this technique is in the category of, okay, there is a problem, but let's figure out how to minimize the impact of the problem.
Right. Compensate for that.
Yeah. And I think maybe ours is also in that category that, let's do admission control so that we do not allow wastage to exceed the physical capacity of the cache, right? So that's one of the things that we're doing here with our provisioning technique.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a similar class of solution, but a very different implementation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Where you actually change the CPU allocation level.
Right.
So by changing CPU allocation level, by the way, what you are changing is the reuse rate and the flood rate.
Right. They don't do that. They just monitor the model the relationship between CPU allocation and performance.
Yeah.
Based on that, between how much CPU to allocate.
Right. Maybe we can do a sort of a case study around that, which to say,
okay, how do we modify the reuse rate and flood rate of a workload by changing its CPU allocation so that wastage just be below a certain level or something like that. Like we could do those sorts of things.
Yeah, that's a thought. Yeah.
I think that's a maybe a gap that exists, right? Which is people have figured out how to improve performance and thus minimize the effects of contention by increasing the CPU levels. But what they perhaps don't understand is why it is happening. Like, what's changing at the in terms of cache operation that enables this this property?
Right. I don't think I see anyone that try to create a model like what you guys are doing.
I think somehow we need to get that across in a very clear manner, right? That what is new here is just the basic understanding about cache contention is new, which is why I sort of had this foundations component.
Mm.
And the goal of that component is to highlight that. Maybe we can have some anecdotes and cite papers to say, okay, here is a paper that found out that, you know, cache contention can be minimized by for a specific workload can be minimized by increasing CPU, and why does it happen? Because of these change of rates, and we are developing a theory that will tell you exactly what contention you will experience and how much extra cache would be necessary and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, but then there's one paper that I made a note that is very close, this one. It does have some notion of flooding and the rate of flooding, similar to what you have, is the predicting inter-thread cache contention. Have you seen that paper?
No. No, I saw your note, and I'm going to read that paper. There were two papers where you had a note. Right, there was this one paper where you said that maybe they have a notion of flooding, and then there was one more.
There's another one which is an analytical model for cache replacement policy.
It's actually possible that we may be able to show that providing more computational resource could actually hurt, because part of the wastage happens because of mismatch in the speed, right? You have all these axes that are interleaving, and the rate at which they interleave messes you up.
So increasing the computation cycles for one workload messes up other workloads.
Messes up maybe makes the wastage worse. Yeah, and maybe mess up other loads, right?
Right.
Yes.
But you're right that it could actually increase wastage. It would benefit that it cannot make the performance of that specific workload worse.
That specific workload worse. But it could the other
one.
But we could also have other constraints in the system, maybe throughput for some service level contract for some workload, perhaps.
Right.
Things of this sort, right?
Yeah.
Yep. That's a good point. Yeah. So maybe you have a ping pong effect. You rate the one and hurt the other one. You rate the other one and hurt the other. It's possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the admission control would be important to ensure that you don't allow this sort of stuff.
That's your remediation.
Yeah, exactly. I don't see admission control anywhere here. It should be there somewhere here.
I thought that came under remediation, but not.
It's not in there.
I have to figure out where it goes.
But migration is a form of admission control, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's sort of a reverse admission control. It's more like eviction. Okay, so let's do the following. I'll maybe spend some more time incorporating the feedback from today. And if you guys can write up maybe two or three research questions, and then they don't need to be in final form. They could be some rough draft. But at least it will get us started in our thinking process and also force us to think about where these research challenges fit into the proposals. Okay. So should we meet next week?
Yeah, I think
you have about 5 minutes.
to be the skin camp or?